Once there was a civilization, much like ours, but with a greater intelligence, greater powers, and a greater capacity for good.
Even though you've been raised as a human being, you are not one of them.
Welcome back to the Light of Day with your host Sheldon Day. This is hour two of the Light of Day radio program, broadcasting live from the monsoon-stricken Sonora Desert, where we're pretty muggy. Dew points currently hovering around 55 degrees here. Sure have been feeling the sun outside for the last week too. We only got about 9.5 minutes now until our next break, so we're going to bring John right back on. And John wanted to finish his thoughts about the Queen Elizabeth. So, welcome back.
Thank you, Sheldon. I'm hearing my voice echoing again.
It's gone. Go ahead.
Okay. Just one final point about the Queen and the possibility that she may be in this country surreptitiously while pretending to be back in England with a double substituting for the Queen. And the reason why that's so important, and it's so important that people in England and people around the world examine any film footage of her public appearances or Prince Philip's public appearances. And the reason why it's important that people do audio analysis of their voices in public speeches, and it's also important to detect the possibility that they may not even appear in public. And then the reason for all this, to try to detect some kind of subterfuge in the falsification of their presence in England, is that these powerful people, such as the Queen, Prince Philip, King Juan Carlos of Spain, the people of the Netherlands, the Royal Dutch family of the Netherlands.
Maurice
Strong, David Rockefeller, Stephen Rockefeller, his son, etc. The reason why we want to detect the presence or the absence of these people, or the false substitution of these people in public appearances, is because they would be like the proverbial canary in the coal mine. And when they disappear, we know that's the signal that destruction is about to strike Earth in the form of meteor showers or other natural disasters. Remember, these power elite have access and operation of all the most expensive technologies that we the slave force have paid for but are being denied. They have access to what is called torsional vortex technology, torsional vortex imaging, which allows them to peer and see through the crust of the earth into the depths of the earth to detect oil deposits, mines, precious metal mines, iron, cobalt, gold, silver, etc.
Hey, John?
Yes.
Well, I'd like to interject by stating that's why me and you think they might have murdered Jerry E. Smith, because maybe he was going to connect the dots that Project HAARP was used to locate oil deposits like they found that oil volcano in the Gulf.
Yeah, I mean, certainly that's a really seemingly accurate suspicion that you have there. Theory, Jerry E. Smith died about a month before the onset of this Gulf oil spill. It was back in March, and the Gulf oil spill was April 20th.
Yeah, and he died he had, I think, pancreatic cancer, and it only took him 2 months to die from it.
Yeah, you know, and what's even more eerie and chilling is the fact that his colleague, Jim Keith, had also been apparently murdered. Jim Keith went into the hospital for a minor leg injury, and he came out dead. Jim Keith had written a lot of sensitive stuff, information that was very sensitive and incriminating toward the power elite. He wrote a book, Black Helicopters Over America, etc. And he was doing some in-depth studies. Go ahead. Sorry.
Well, I was just going to say the book, Black Choppers Over America. Go ahead.
So we have to look for these power elite, and there's so many deaths that have occurred, but we have to keep on going, and so that's another issue. Moving on down this list that I have here, this long list of issues surrounding the approach of Planet X, we've come to James McCanney. He stated that there is an object moving into our solar system. And some other quotes that we have from him, say about five years ago, before he became more reticent and more closed-lipped about Planet X, when he was more outspoken about it, he had said that, quote, there are leaks coming out all over the place from military personnel and professional astronomers that, quote, there is a mini solar system moving into our solar system. Well, that's very telling, because a solar system is defined as a large celestial body, usually a sun. Could be a sun that's dead, but a large celestial body of such great mass that it has other celestial bodies encircling it, just as our solar system has. Well, that indeed defines Planet X, because Planet X has thousands of celestial bodies orbiting around it in its gravitational grip. So we have a mini solar system moving into our solar system, and McCanney specifically stated that the information is coming out from Project Wormwood down in Australia, because the Planet X and its gang of surrounding comets are known to be coming in from the south, that is below our ecliptic plane. Our ecliptic plane is like an invisible disk in space, and it's the pathway or the disk in space on which all our planets revolve around the sun. Just think of it as like a huge CD or compact disk, with the hub of the compact disc player being the sun. And this huge planet, Planet X, a brown dwarf star, is coming in from below, sort of like below or underneath a revolving table. Well, in order to see it, therefore, you have to be in the southern hemisphere, because in the northern hemisphere, if you look out, try to look down south, your vision will be blocked by the equator, the bulge in Planet Earth. So it can only be, this celestial object can only be viewed from the southern hemisphere, and that's where the Learmont, I believe, facilities, Project Wormwood, is located. And that's where Marshall Master said in his book, if Planet X is going to be spotted, that is one of the main locations, observatories, where it will be spotted. And indeed, it was spotted, as testified to by James McCanney. understanding. Now, getting on to another point.
Hey, John. Yeah, the break's coming in. We'll be back in 3 minutes. Stay tuned, folks. Welcome back to the Light of Day with your host, Sheldon Day, coming to you live on Orion, from broadcasting from the monsoon-stricken Sonora Desert in just outside Tucson, Arizona. Before we bring John back, I wanted to mention there's another oil spill in the Gulf. I did mention this before I brought John on, but I see Tonda out there is listening, and she sent an email as my show was progressing. Her article's entitled, Efforts to Cap the Oil Well in Assumption Parish, Louisiana, Face Setbacks. Bad weather has posed problems for workers trying to cap a blown-out oil well in Assumption Parish, and residents are complaining of an oily stench in the air. A well operated by Mantle Oil and Gas blew out Wednesday, spewing oil and gas 200 feet into the air. State and local authorities have evacuated 6 homes. No one was injured. Workers tried to burn the oil and gas coming from the well Friday afternoon to stop the spray and cap the well, said State Trooper Brian Zeringer, I don't know how to pronounce it, but a controlled burn was started next to the spewing well, but the wind would not cooperate, instead blowing the fire away from the well. So the article goes on and on, but like I've told you before, folks, me and John, we really think that more subtle effects like this are in our face as Planet X closes in. What do you think of that, John?
Absolutely. It's becoming very conspicuous that these Gulf oil spills that are popping up all over the place are as a result of the natural disasters, that is the natural belching and buckling and bulging of the Gulf of Mexico seabed and waterways thereabouts. We see these oil popping out of the ground, out of the seabeds, and boy, there's so much evidence to indicate that. I had been stating this from the beginning because while everybody else who was reporting on and theorizing as to the cause of the oil spill and as blaming BP for it, they did not have the information that I was so fortunate to have. I was the only one that had found out that 3 to 4 years ago, a friend of mine, Mark, who lives in this area of northern New Jersey, told me that he has a friend who works as a geologist for the U.S. Geological Survey. And this friend told him, now this was 3 to 4 years ago when I spoke to Mark. He told me that at that time that his geologist friend told him that there are two main points. One, that they are surveying the Gulf of Mexico for terrific oil drilling opportunities. And two, they expect land masses to arise out of the Gulf of Mexico. That, to me, was stunning to hear that 3 to 4 years ago, but it's even more stunning to see it materializing right now. And that's why I knew that this BP oil spill was not, and was indeed only a phony cover-up. BP tried to create some kind of a spill to pretend to the public that all this oil was gushing up from the Gulf of Mexico due to their own malfeasance, their own reckless drilling practices. They wanted BP to be blamed. The government and the power elite wanted BP to take the blame for this oil coming up because they desperately wanted to conceal from the public the fact that this is a natural disaster. And what makes it even more compelling for them to cover it up is that they know these natural disasters are going to be accelerating and increasing, not only in magnitude, but in frequency. So if this was just one disaster, they would not be so desperate to cover it up, because it would be just a random natural disaster that could be forgotten by everybody, and to just go on, you know, cleaning up the mess and get it over with, just like the Exxon Valdez spill or some, which was not a natural disaster, but you know what I mean. If it was just one random natural disaster, they would have no desperate desire to cover it up. However, they know this is only the beginning of the long drumbeat of natural disasters that are going to be accelerating and intensifying as a result of the ongoing approach of Planet X and its thousands of celestial bodies surrounding Planet X and its Planet X's tremendous gravitational grip. As these bodies come in, there are two major forces that are going to be traumatizing and molesting planet Earth. One of those forces is gravitational pull. The other force is electromagnetic induction, because these Planet X, this huge brown dwarf star, and its surrounding comets have all penetrated from when they came in from deep space. They came in through the doorway, the threshold of our solar system, our outer solar system, and that threshold was the heliosphere, which is the plasma sphere. It's a huge, like a bubblegum bubble, only that bubble is made out of positive, electrically charged ions, gases that are called plasma. So you can visualize the heliosphere as a glowing, red, electrified globe surrounding the entire solar system. And in order for a celestial body to come in from deep space, solar system, it has to penetrate that threshold, the heliosphere. And when it does, all the Planet X and its thousands of surrounding comets become drenched, saturated with this plasma, this positive electric charge. Just as the phenomenon when you open a box of a packaging box and they have all these tiny white styrofoam peanuts used as packing material, there's a great deal of electric charge, free electrons, static electricity on these little styrofoam peanuts. So when you dip your hand into the box, all these peanuts stick to your hand and you just can't get them off. They stick to your arms and you can shake them, and it's very difficult to get them off. It's like glue. It's electrical glue. Well, when these planets come in, they're saturated with this electrical glue, and there's this very well-known phenomenon in physics that anybody studying electricity and magnetism will learn in college, and that is electrons or any electrical charge in motion generates an electromagnetic field that is circular, circulates in around the path of that stream of moving charge.
Hey, John?
Yes?
We're going to be coming in a break here pretty quick. Yeah. I'd like to sort of cover this as well. You know, a lot of this has been rehashed 1,000 times already, but it's still good information. But we should also point out that this BP oil critic, Matt Simmons, dies of a heart attack in a hot tub. I didn't mention that tonight either.
Oh, yeah. We're still on the air, right?
Yeah.
Okay, that's a good point. Now, and in the YouTube video that I saw, he was on this Radigan program, which I believe was Fox News, one of the big major networks, and it was a YouTube video of his presentation, and Matt Simmons, this big oil company executive who happens to be a member of the Council of Foreign Relations, that's very important, because if he were to reveal anything that's incriminating against the power leader, against this BP operation.
John, hold that thought. The break's kicking in. You're doing good there. Just hang on. We'll be back, folks. You're listening to Live Day on Orion. Stay tuned. Welcome back to the Light of Day with your host, Sheldon Day, coming to you live on the Orion Talk Radio Network. We're broadcasting live from the monsoon-stricken Sonora Desert outside Tucson, Arizona. We're live Saturday night, August 14th. Well, back to, I hate to interrupt John there. He was right onto a great discussion about this critic of the BP oil spill disaster. I wanted to read a quick history here on what happened to Matt Simmons. I found a really good article I could read here really quick. Critic of BP dies in hot tub. Matt Simmons drowned at his house, found Sunday night in his hot tub. This happened 6 days ago, folks. Matt Simmons' body was found Sunday night in his hot tub, investigators said. An autopsy by the state medical examiner's office concluded Monday that he died from accidental drowning with heart disease as a contributing factor. The Knox County Sheriff's Department says Matthew Simmons, the founder of the Ocean Energy Institute, drowned at his house on North Haven late Sunday night. Matt Simmons was an investment banker and a leading proponent of the peak oil hypothesis, which he latched on to after stumbling across the work of retired oil field consultant Dr. Colin Campbell in the late 90s. In 2005, he authored Twilight in the Desert, The Coming Saudi Oil Shock in the World Economy. Now, folks, Matthew Simmons was an energy advisor to President George W. Bush and was central to the push for even higher oil prices. In recent weeks, Matthew Simmons had been a regular face on U.S. television, and the one that John was referring to there on that YouTube presentation, that was on MSNBC, I believe. But anyway, he was a regular face on U.S. television as he expressed concern that BP and the federal government were colluding in their deceit to play down the magnitude of the BP Deepwater Horizon oil disaster. The timing of Matt Simmons' unfortunate demise could not be more opportune for BP, the U.S. government, and the oil industry at large. In addition to his vocal criticism of BP and the federal government, Simmons founded the Ocean Energy Institute in an effort to establish an array of wind farms off the coast of Maine. This is an initiative seen as a direct threat to the Rockefeller-dominated oil cartel. Anyway, we'll bring John back on so he could finish up his thoughts on Matt Simmons. Are you still there, John?
Yes. Wow, that information you brought out, I'm hearing myself, that information you brought out is something new to me, and I mean some of it anyway. The fact that he was way up at the presidential level as an advisor, and also the fact that he was challenging the energy policies of the Rockefellers, trying to compete with them and threatening their oil, their empire, with wind energy. And that seems to me now it's becoming clear that he, because he was so interested in wind energy replacing oil, at least to some extent, that he began to blow the whistle and reveal the real truth about this oil, BP oil spill scam. Because we know that dummy view that we see all the time on television showing us this oil spill is quite obviously a dummy view of some oil bubbling up to lead us to believe that this is indeed the actual pipe that's causing the entire Gulf of Mexico or major portions the size of many several states to be filled with oil. That cannot happen with one little pipe. It's like having one, you know, even it's like a fire hydrant being open. You can't flood several states with one fire hydrant open.
And John, in this article here, it says, indeed, it was him who highlighted the fact that after the July 23rd evacuation of all Gulf shipping, the live feed of the BP wellhead had been switched to another capped wellhead 7 miles away.
Oh, he stated that? Or
yeah, he did when you were playing that YouTube interview over the phone for me.
Wow, so yeah, there you go. So he was really, really revealing the deceit that they're employing in this, in deceiving the public about the actual origin and nature of this oil spill. The origin and nature of it have been totally deceived and misrepresented to the people. Matt Simmons, in that YouTube television MSNBC interview, he stated that he saw took a look at that view of the oil spill undersea, and he saw a white fish go right through this bubbling oil plume that is constantly being shown on the television.
You know, it's rather funny.
Thick stomach position, and he said this white fish just swam right through it real quickly and came right out white again. So he says he knows it's a dummy plume. And go ahead, sorry.
Well, you know, it's kind of rather funny too, because here's a proponent of the peak oil thing, but at the same token, he's on national television showing us a well 7 miles away that may go on for another like 24 or 27 years if not capped.
You're saying that he mentioned that there is another leak 6 or 7 miles away from where that supposed oil pipe drilling leak occurred, right?
Yeah, and he said if that other one isn't capped, it'll go on for another 24 or 27 years. So he's kind of contradicting himself, you know. Here's a proponent of the peak oil thing that we have a limited amount of oil, but here he's on TV saying, well, it sure looks like unlimited oil if it goes on for 20-some more years.
Yeah, that's a good point. That really is. Well, he was evidently revealing to the people that the BP and the power elite were really deceiving the entire world as to the nature, the origin, and the nature of this oil leak in the Gulf of Mexico seabed. And, again, I go back to my conclusion, which was obvious to me because I was fortunate enough to have the information from the U.S. Geological Survey geologist 3 to 4 years ago that they expect land masses to arise out of the Gulf of Mexico. So when this BP oil disaster occurred, that to me was the piece of the puzzle that fit in with that information perfectly and told me that this disaster was really a natural disaster, manifesting as the bulging and buckling of the Gulf of Mexico seabed, with oil coming out of various places, which was what you would expect when the Earth begins to get heated up. These comets that are coming into our solar system are drenched with electrical charge, and when you have a basic principle of electricity and magnetism in physics is that electric charge in motion creates a magnetic, encircling magnetic field around the path of the moving charge. So when you have a celestial body moving toward planet Earth, then that celestial body is actually a drenched charge in motion. Lots of electrical charge in motion, and there you go, there's the manifestation of that principle, that electromagnetic fields billow out from that path, the stream of, or the path of that comet, which is passing so many millions of miles away from Earth. Just as when you see an airplane in the sky and in a chemtrail comes billowing out of from the path of the airplane, as the airplane traces through the sky, in the path where the plane had disappeared, you see this billowing cloud. It's a long dream, but it billows outward of some kind of chemical or white cloud. Similarly, the electromagnetic field, which is invisible but has great tangible force nonetheless, billows outward too along the path, and that billowing cuts into and reaches into planet Earth itself, and these invisible lines of magnetic force cut through to the entire planet Earth and generate heat in the molten iron core, molten iron outer core of planet Earth, as well as the solid iron inner core of planet Earth. And iron is a wonderful conductor of magnetic flux. Energy. And it heats up, and now we have the boiling and heating of planet Earth just like a pot of stew is boiling. Yes.
Well, I was going to say something, but none of the brakes kicking in, sure enough. We'll be back. You're listening to The Light of Dan Orion. Stay tuned, folks. Stay tuned, John Singer. Folks, welcome back to The Light of Day with your host, Sheldon Day, coming to you live on the Orion Talk Radio Network, Saturday night, August 14th, 2010. Just wanted to remind folks, my research associate and fellow talk show host, John Moore, has a birthday coming up within the next few days, so happy birthday, John Moore. He'll probably be back live tomorrow. I know he did a rerun last weekend because he was helping law enforcement sell some Crown Victoria cruisers. And he says they definitely can go 150 miles an hour. Anyway, we got John on the phone. We got one segment left right now, and then the show will be done. So go ahead, John.
Okay, Sheldon. I'll try to get through this real quickly. It's so important that people know that this is why we're having the seabeds buckling. We're having oil leaks and fissures coming up from the seabed of the Gulf of Mexico. Is because the Earth's molten iron core is in its inner solid iron core are being electromagnetically heated up, just as a dish of food in a microwave oven is electromagnetically heated up. And this heating is causing what's called mantle plumes. These are plumes like just like the plumes in a heated lava lamp. That rise upward from the center of the Earth, from the molten iron core through the more thick mantle, and they burst upward to the crust and start punching holes and burning holes through the crust of the Earth and boiling up with gases and with with magma, which is molten rock. And that's exactly what's happening to the seabed of the Gulf of Mexico. It's bulging, being pushed upward by the pressure of hot molten rock and gases. Now, these gases consist of very toxic hydrogen sulfide, methane, and there are certainly reports of methane coming up from the seabed. So all the signs are there that we're ready for a major disaster. People have to start telling their neighbors about it, that the Gulf of Mexico is going to explode. There's going to be some kind of gas emissions, and which could cause tremendous fires, but also the power of gas penetrating from the surface as well as the seabed buckling is going to cause tsunamis. It has to cause tsunamis, and that's why we have to warn the people about this and have them take cover, prepare to take to escape that area to save millions of lives. This is so critical. Okay, I'm going to get on to other issues on the list. I'm going to have the time only to recite these bulletin items. NASA is under contract to maintain secrecy. NASA has always been secret, just like the CIA. But before they went really secret, they put out a document. Well, it was actually a secret confidential document around 1978 titled The Search for Planet X. This is the National Aeronautics and Space Administration with an internal document titled The Search for Planet X. So they call it Planet X. Therefore, Planet X is not a fictitious name. It's the official name of the astronomical community for this the celestial body that they know is approaching our solar system. Dr. Robert S. Harrington was the chief astronomer of the U.S. Naval Observatory, and he was apparently, obvious from all the circumstantial evidence, he was about to reveal his findings that Planet X was indeed approaching, because he had telescopically proven that Planet X was there where he calculated it was, and it was approaching our solar system, and this would have caused panic and a complete loss of control. Remember now, this is why they murder people, the power elite murder people in higher positions, because those people might reveal the existence of a planet coming to our solar system into or causing havoc at a distance from causing havoc to planet Earth, that would totally disrupt the public, their control, the power elite's control over the people, so that the people would no longer be obedient to the power elite. They may not even pay their taxes. This is their greatest fear, that the people won't pay their taxes, so they will murder anybody in an incredible high authority, credible position and authority, who is going to reveal the approach of this incoming planet, or the effects of the disastrous natural effects, such as Matt Simon was revealing the disastrous natural disasters that were occurring as a result of this seabed buckling. And Matt Simmons was revealing to the public on television that the power elite, including BP, were lying to us about the cause of it. And because, again, the power elite do not want to lose control. If we found out these were an ongoing, increasing crescendo of natural disasters, the people would, out of fear, panic, and lose their obedience to the power elite. Okay, I'll go on now. Astronomers have already named it Planet X, going back to 1900, 110 years ago. Wealthy astronomer Percival Lowell constructed the Lowell Observatory looking for Planet X, which had been sought throughout the entire 19th century, throughout the 1800s. Even astronomers back then noticed the perturbations, the plucking, the pulling, and one point in the orbital paths of the outer planets Uranus and Neptune, and they knew, they reasoned logically, that the only thing that could pull a planet out of its orbit would be some kind of a huge gravitational pull, and that gravitational pull can only be exerted by an extremely massive celestial body. This Planet X has been stated by NASA in the New York Times January 30th, 1983 report. NASA gave this report to the New York Times that this is most likely a brown dwarf star. Now, by definition, a brown dwarf star is the tiniest brown dwarf star is about three Jupiters in mass. Three Jupiters, one Jupiter. Jupiter itself has a mass of 318 Earths. Okay, so three Jupiters is approaching 1,000 Earth masses. That is what's called a tiny brown dwarf star. So even if we assume that Planet X is just a tiny brown dwarf star, and not just an average brown dwarf star, which it may be, even if it's a tiny one, it's Planet X's mass then would have to be about 1,000 Earth masses, meaning its gravitational pull on all the planets in our solar system as it approaches the sun. It would be incredibly destructive to the crust of the Earth, the internal structure of the Earth, and you have heating and all kinds of tremendous disastrous effects, one of which is the fact that these electrically charged plasma of saturated celestial bodies zap the sun, just like your finger would get zapped when you pick up a lot of static charge as you're walking across a carpet and you grab onto a doorknob, and all of a sudden you get this electric st- sting on your finger. It's very painful because you have built up about 3,000 volts of electric charge on your body. Not that much current, but plenty of voltage to cause a sting when that charge discharges to a metal object. Well, likewise, Planet X and its comets. In fact, I'm looking at a comet right now. It just went above my view, went straight overhead, but it's a few hours ago, as the Earth had been rotating in a different, rotating at a certain point, that comet appears over my horizon as I'm looking out to the east. That's one of the comets that is in the entourage of Planet X. That comet is getting a little bit brighter every day, meaning that it's getting closer. And this is not the only comet I've seen in the past couple of years. There have been other comets. You're going to see more comets in the sky. What they look like is very bright stars, extremely bright stars. And the thing is, you'll start seeing them. Now, Planet X is essentially red because it trails a huge cloud of iron oxide dust, which it picks up in deep space because it's like a gravitational vacuum cleaner in space. It grabs onto all kinds of celestial bodies from planets all the way down to iron oxide dust. And this is what it has been actually sighted and viewed by the Chandra X-ray Observatory satellite of the U.S. NASA. They have sighted it, and it was about 6 months ago. You'll see news reports of the Chandra X-ray Observatory satellite sighting some unknown, what they call and reported to be an unknown comet. They had to report it, I guess, because they feared that other astronomers would view it too, and they couldn't just ignore it. But in covering it up, they did not tell us what it actually is. So it has been sighted, and it looks like a red object with a glowing red cloud around it. It trails, several moons are trailing it, sort of like a string of pearls, among its entourage. And when it comes in...
Hey, John?
Yes.
Oh, I hate to interrupt you, but we probably have 30 seconds left here. Can you just tell folks quick how they can tune into your radio shows?
Yeah, Planet X in Bible Prophecy is broadcast 10 p.m. Eastern Time, Sundays. Every Sunday at 10 p.m. Eastern. 318 Fox shortwave. While simulcast on... Now, forget about WWW. This is the WWRB. Just two W's. WWRB.org. Same time, 10 p.m. Eastern, Sundays. WWRB.org.
Plus, John's a guest. He has his own show on Orion here. Well, the show is done. Thanks for coming on, John.
You're welcome.
Talk to you later. Bye.
The Orion Talk Radio Network is here. The First Amendment of the Constitution grants us freedom of speech. That's the freedom to express our views and opinions without censorship. If you listen to mainstream radio at all, you'll notice that free speech is pretty hard to find these days, with just a handful of networks offering programs that dare to discuss topics and issues that have a profound impact on our daily lives. The mainstream media simply lies by omission and distortion of the facts. The Orion Talk Radio Network is committed to bringing you entertaining and thought-provoking programming that dares to tell the truth. And you can help us as we grow our network. If you think you have what it takes to host a show, you know of someone interested in hosting a show, or any other suggestions, comments, or questions, please drop us an email at OrionTalkRadio@gmail.com. That's OrionTalkRadio@gmail.com. And thank you for listening to the Orion Talk Radio Network. The Big Shot of the Milliwatt. This is Micro 1650 AM, Tonawanda, New York.